Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 17th, episode 638, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week, halfway done, the downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, we have breaking news, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. Huge breaking news that we have to tell you guys about. I almost can't wait till my daily Winnie, Glenn. I'll wait. I'll be good. I'll behave myself.
Patience, Jamie. Patience.
I just.
You're
going to
learn that in about 2 months. Patience.
No, I'm not. That's the problem. I'm not having no patience whatsoever. So how are you guys doing? How's Florida?
We're doing great. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yep, it's beautiful. And absolutely perfect spring weather here in Florida. Sorry for those people in Colorado who just got, what, another foot of snow. I do feel bad about that.
I don't feel bad because those people love snow. They get to ski.
Well, that's true. But, you know, wouldn't you think by the middle of April you'd be sick of skiing and you'd want to do, like, something outside that doesn't involve snow?
For you and I, yes. For those people, nah, they're fine.
All right, Jennifer, what's like, coming up? We'll get right to it today.
On today's Wheel of Trivia Wednesday edition, the switchboard is lit up like a Christmas tree already, folks. Thank you very much. And once the Wheel of Trivia has spun its prizes in, for our lucky listeners, we will hit up Horse and Country TV for a helping of headlines from across the pond. And wrapping up the show, we will welcome the Horse Health Report on board this crazy little hovercraft of craziness. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. We appreciate that. And, of course, if you do want to play the Wheel of Trivia, you need to give us a call at 347-637-3238. 347-637-3238. And when you do that, press 1 if you want to play the wheel when you get in, because you can also use that number just to call and listen to the show, and a lot of people do that every day. So we can't tell the people that want to play from the people who are just listening. So if you want to play, press 1. And we'll get to you in a few minutes, but first we have some important business to take care of. And here we go. Well, my daily Winnie is a very short one because Jamie is chomping at the bit, and mine is one of these. Happy birthday to one of our favorite people out there in California, Dominique Ferrero. And, of course, Dominique is Zebras R Us, and we wish you a very happy birthday, Dominique. Did you see she posted on her Facebook page that she got a new zebra for sale now? And there was a little kid riding it.
And it's apparently, like, broke to ride. And what was the bargain price? Like $20,000? I hope she sells it.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah, I'll take 2, please, Dominique. Ship them over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really cool, though, I guess.
Oh, sorry. I'm jumpy on the button today.
That's all right. Can you imagine showing up at a horse trial, like in a 3-day event with a zebra? That'd be the coolest thing ever. It's worth $20,000 right
there.
What
are the wonder what the dressage judges would do. Is there any extension with the zebra? I don't know.
I don't know, but I bet that if you rode a zebra up to a warm-up arena with a bunch of thoroughbreds trying to do dressage, you would spook the hell out of all of them. Think?
That'd be
awesome.
That would be
okay,
funny.
Okay, Daily Winnie.
They'd probably fit
Daily
in
Winnie.
Better at a paint show.
Yeah, less spooky. Daily Winnie, Daily Winnie, Daily Winnie, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. Oh, my gosh, you guys. Australian mare, Black Caviar, has now been retired. Are you guys okay? I think it's great. 25 wins in a row, she has now been retired.
I was surprised because I thought they would just go a little longer. I thought maybe they would go till she went to Britain this year, but I guess, why did they give a reason? Did they just say they want her to be done as a winner, or?
You know, Peter Moody, the trainer, says she has done everything we have asked her to do. We thought long and hard about racing on, but believe she has done everything we ask of her and felt it was the right time to call time on her wonderful career. He said she's in great shape, and that's the way we wanted her to bow out. We just thought that the time was right. It was a very hard decision. And he also goes on to say, after Ascot, we were going to retire, but in the finish, we got 3 more runs out of her. She brought interest to our sport that hasn't been there for decades. Black Caviars don't come along every day. She has 15 Group 1 wins, Glenn. 15 out of 25, and 25 of all of them were graded wins. I mean, it's so insane that a horse like that can just blow past everybody 25 times in a row. They don't come like her, you know?
And her 25th win was extraordinary. I mean, it was something to watch. I mean, it really was extraordinary. I wish I still had it uploaded. I could play it again, but I don't. But it was neat. It was really neat. And well, that's terrific. And can you imagine what these babies are going for? Going to go for? Oh my gosh!
Well, that's what they're talking about. Of course, immediately they're like, everybody's saying she's going to be, you know, bred to Frankel. But they're saying that may have to wait. She's probably going to see an Australian stallion later on this year because their seasons are different. I guess, does Australia not breed by January 1st or after January 1st? I mean, we need to get an Australian race person on the horn here and tell, do they, because their winter and summer are different, do they breed at different times? Because now, if that's the case, she can go to a stallion almost immediately. Here in America, if she's breeding, it'd be almost too late.
Yeah, that is weird that they wouldn't. You would think that they would really want Frankel to be the first one. You know, you would think that, but I don't know.
Or maybe they're just trying to promote Australian breeding too. You know, I mean, heck, who knows? Or they're going to breed them to some American horse that goes over to Australia. And so it must be switched because all of our horses travel, some of them travel to Australia in the off season for us, which is their season. So it must be backwards. So she's going to see an Australian stud is what they're saying. Now, this is, man, people swirl rumors around this horse much like they do, you know, Paris Hilton 5 years ago here. It's crazy. So we'll see what happens, you know, and you never know. You never know. The rumor mill is crazy about Black Caviar.
Well, it is. She and Zenyatta really have done more for racing over the last 5-10 years than any other horses that I can think of. I mean, they really, truly have done more for racing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why I was
And notice they're both girls. Both girls.
Girl power. So I'm super excited. As shocking as it was to read this news this morning, that's the first thing that punched me in the face was, oh my gosh, she's retired. As sad as it makes me not to see her race again or for us to talk about her racing again, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that they made this decision at 25 wins. She deserves to retire. She deserves some time off, some R&R, start making some babies. It's not that bad, I guess. And then, you know, get out there and she's
the
good
pregnant
and sound.
Woman.
I know. She's good and sound. She's happy. She's healthy. I'm just really impressed with them. You liked that, did you?
Yeah, that's funny. Well, I do want to mention another racehorse, too, before we get to the Wheel of Trivia here. And it looks like we have the boards just totally lit up here, so we'll get to you in just a second. But the best racehorse name of the year I found the other day, thanks to Udi Shepherd, posted it on my Facebook page. Did you see what it was?
Yes, it's awesome.
Did you see it?
I did. Tell me.
Bikini Bottom. Bikini Bottom. The best racehorse name of the year. Bikini Bottom. I love that.
I didn't see that, but you can hear the announcer. And Bikini Bottom has come off down the home stretch. I should have been a race announcer.
You should have been. That was really good. All right. This is what we're going to do now. It's that time of the week.
Wheel of Trivia!
That's right. It's time for the Wheel of Trivia. Here is how it's going to work. We have callers lined up. If you hear somebody win, hold on, because we're going to take many callers here today. We have some new categories, which Jamie's going to tell you about in just a second. And, of course, we always have a crappy prize, which the last one last week, and I don't know, did you see, Jamie, that Celeste posted a picture of her and her crappy prize? She was so happy. She had a big smile. I imagine if she had won something good.
I don't know what her crappy prize was, but, yeah, it was – she kind of looked sarcastic in the photo, Glenn. Don't say she was excited.
We appreciate everybody that posts photos when they win. This week's crappy prize is a six-pack of used double-ended snaps. We don't know if they're going to work. That's up to you to find out if you win the crappy prize of the day. We do have some new prizes on the wheel, too, I'd like to tell you about real quick. We have copies of Jared Rogerson's new CD, Dirt, which came out yesterday with 14 new original songs by one of our favorite musicians. And guess what? He said he would sign them. So that's a signed copy of his CD. We also have an application called Equisketch Records 2 that is on the wheel now. Plus, we have helmets, we have breeches, Carrots breeches, Troxel helmets, all kinds of stuff. So we're going to get to play right now, and Jamie, why don't you tell us what the new categories are?
Well, you guys, first of all, I must say I am very impressed that, Glenn, you did some major homework here. I'm impressed. Our first category, ladies and gentlemen on hold, pay attention, because our first category is going to be TV theme songs. All of these are shows that do include a horse, okay? TV theme songs. We're going to play a clip
and
of the song.
And I'm going to play it. Yeah.
And then you're going to have to guess it. Now, we will have a little bonus question associated with it, but nobody will ever get it. so, the next category, because it is creeping up on that time of year, ladies and gentlemen. Derby Day is the second category. Derby Day will ask you trivia questions related to the Kentucky Derby. And the final category is Tack and Habit. Tack and Habit. And we're going to ask you questions about tack, pretty much, and you get to answer those. So those are going to be your choices, TV theme songs, Derby Day, or Tack and Habit. Let's take a caller,
Glenn.
If
they get the answer correct, you'll hear this. If you get the answer wrong, you will hear this.
There we go.
All right, let's take Lynn from Michigan.
Lynn, good morning, Lynn. How are you?
Good morning. I'm terrific. I'm awake.
You're awake. Yeah, well, I'm not, so we're good.
Well, I work second shift. I'm usually not awake this early.
Lynn, where are you calling from?
Outside of Detroit, about an hour.
Oh, it's beautiful in Detroit, I hear. Ha.
Oh, well, not really.
Are there horses in that area of the country?
Yeah, actually, in my little corner of the world, there is a lot of horses.
Do you own some, or are you just
I have two. My neighbors across the street run a boarding facility, and they've got about 60. My neighbors next door have two. Neighbors up the road got two. Yeah, we got lots. We're right near the state park. Yeah, we're good for the horses. I live right not too far from Metamora Hunt, and I do hunt with them occasionally when I can get a chance to. So
when you can afford it, I heard that.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Before I got my little $50 cap and fee when they let me.
Yep. Well, listen, what category would you like to play today? TV theme songs, Derby Day, or would you like Tack and Habit?
Oh, it figures. You know, I just finally got you guys all figured out with the previous categories. You had Naya throw a zinger at me when I call in. I think I'm going to go for Tack and Habit.
Tack and Habit. Okay. Not that this matters, but are you an English writer or a Western writer?
English, mostly.
Well, that's not going to help you.
Oh, well.
I know a little bit
about Western. That's just too much leather for me.
girl, don't think I'm going to argue with you. You know what somebody said to me yesterday? One of my students' fathers came over, and he goes, "Now, what's the difference between an English saddle and a normal saddle?" I was like, excuse me?
That is normal.
It is normal. Your Western one is not normal.
No. There's just way too much stuff there.
I know. I'm like, normal? You want to talk about normal?
Most people ride on a bareback pad, so there.
Nice. Nice. I didn't need to get into all that with him. It was hard enough just to not punch him in the face. So.
Exactly.
All right. Well, here's your question. Question number one under Tack and Habit. What does rigging refer to on a Western saddle? When they mention the rigging on a Western saddle, what part of the saddle are they talking about?
That would be your front and rear cinch. And what position it's in.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. Go ahead.
Is that correct? I didn't even know.
Yes.
I had the answer in front of me, and I couldn't figure it out.
That's what I tell you. It's the arrangement of rings and hardware that connects the billet and the girthing system. My gosh, way to go, girl.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had no idea either. So I'm all right, good. Well, that shows you how much we ride in Western saddles around here. Let's spin the wheel for you. Let me get it set up here. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Get it set up here for you. All right, here we go. Maybe. Come on, wheel.
What's wrong with our wheel, Glenn?
I think my mic, let me... Did you hear the wheel?
No.
No.
All right, well, we'll spin it.
You have to turn the microphone on, Glenn. There it goes.
Oh, here we go.
Now we can hear it.
Barely.
Sorry, too many mics on my own. Oh, there went the breeches. You just missed Carrot's breeches. Oh,
bummer.
And you just missed the crappy cries. So did you say you like to read?
I do like to read.
That was good, because you just won a book called Horse
Alrighty.
Profiling, The Secret to Motivating Equine Athletes by Kerry Thomas and Calvin Carter. This is a cool book because it really helps you determine what horses are going to be good for and ways to develop them, and it really is a cool book. It's a technical book, so I hope you like technical books, but it's a good book.
Horse Profile.
Cool. Well, good.
Awesome.
Well, let us know what you think of it. So you can go over and profile all 60 horses across the street.
There you go. I just like to figure out the two I own.
Well, this will help you do that, too. Well, Lynn, hold on for 1 second, and Jennifer's going to talk to you and get your address.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Glenn,
well,
I was really wanting to make jokes on profiling. Really, really wanting to make jokes on profiling. It was really hard not to.
I didn't listen. Let's head off to Arizona. Actually, Kathy is in Arizona.
Kathy.
Hello.
Hello, Kathy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you calling from in Arizona?
Payson.
Payson, Arizona. Why are you up this early, woman?
Actually, I knew I couldn't wake up if I set my alarm, so I just stayed up.
What? Oh, well, you must be young.
Are you a crazy teenager?
No, I'm 19 going on 20 this year.
That would be still a teenager.
You're still, yeah, you're still crazy.
Not teenager. Crazy.
Awesome. Well, this is great. Well, I'm glad you called. So, do you have horses? Do you ride?
Yes, I got 3 horses and 1 miniature.
So 3.5.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. And what type of riding do you do?
I do Western and English and a little bit of trick training.
Cool. That's fantastic. That's not something you hear very often. Do you do tricks with the minis? Is that your big trick horse?
I started off with one of my standard horses and then got the miniature, and now they both do them.
Oh, that's so cool. So cool. Well, cool. All right. What category would you like? Would you like TV theme songs, Derby Day, or Tack and Habit?
I probably know none of those, so I'll try the song.
Yay, somebody picked it. I was going to be really mad if I did all that work and nobody picked it, so thank you very much.
I probably won't get it, but it's okay.
All right, here we go. Okay, Kathy, so these are TV shows from the past that have had a horse in them, in one form or another, and you're going to hear just a little snippet of the theme song, and you have to guess what it is, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Take a listen. All right. Do you know that one?
I'm going to, like, I don't know, True Grit or something.
No, I'm sorry. Oh.
I don't know any TV series.
Glenn, she is way too young to remember MASH. Or even no MASH. She
I
was
know.
Off the air before she was born.
I have to say, though, it's one of my favorite TV shows of all time is MASH.
I've seen a couple old TV shows. That's about it.
Well, Colonel Potter had a horse in that show called Sophie that they found. It was hurt. It had been hurt in the war, and they brought it back, and Colonel Potter had the horse for a good part of the show. Did you like MASH, Jamie? Please tell me.
Glenn, I got to tell you, again, I was born in 77, so I kind of don't remember MASH very much. I've seen some reruns, but again, at 35, that show's too old for me.
That's hard to believe. That's hard to believe. Well, for those of you in the audience that want to hear a little bit more of it, here it is. I'll just play a couple.
Nobody wanted to hear more.
I did.
Would you have recognized this much if you got that? Would you have recognized
that?
No.
Probably no. Not. I don't even remember.
Well, thank
the
you
names
for playing, Kathy.
Oh, no, thanks.
Yes.
Thank you.
Kathy,
all
try
right.
back
call
next
again.
Week, okay?
I will.
Dang.
She stayed up
that
all
was
night.
Old.
You know, the last time I did that, I was her age. So.
Yeah. 19 going on 20. That's pretty much it.
Let's go across the country and take Ingrid from New Jersey. We're all over the place.
Already? Hello?
Hey, Ingrid, how are
Hello?
You?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. What is going on in beautiful, warm, balmy, sunny New Jersey?
Oh, it is a gorgeous morning here. Just taking care of the horses and giving you guys a call.
Well, we appreciate that. So, have we talked to you before?
Once before.
Okay. So you're pretty much new to this whole thing. So do you understand how it works? You ready to do this?
I'm so ready.
Now, tell us, what type of riding do you do? That's my favorite part is just talking to total strangers from across the country. What do?
I do Western riding, mostly trails, but I do train every now and then with a reining. I guess someone that does reining. And other than that, I really just try to get on trails and enjoy my horses.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. And now, did you hear me tell the story of the person that said to me yesterday, what's the difference between an English saddle and a normal saddle?
Well, really? No, I didn't hear that one. That's like ridiculous.
Yeah. What's the difference between an English saddle, because his daughter's riding in little English lessons, and a normal saddle? I'm like, English is normal. But I guess it's not
normal. I've done English, I've done dressage, I've done pretty much everything, but I'm really enjoying just hitting trails now and going out and enjoying it.
Good, good for you. Well, what category would you like today? We've got TV theme songs. Well, you might have gotten the MASH one, Glenn.
Got the MASH one.
Really?
See?
The one I want to do. I want to do the music one.
Music,
oh, that's
one.
Easy.
We don't even need to go further. Go for it, Glenn.
Theme song.
All right, here we go. Now, you're only going to hear a very short part of this, so that's
okay.
Something to keep in mind. And one nice thing about these, Jamie, is they can't Google them. So, there's
non-Google-able.
No Googling it at all. Yep. All right, here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready. A horse is a horse, of course.
Of course.
Was that Mr. Ed?
Yay! Good job! Mr. Ed.
And I'm singing
well,
the
now,
theme
in
song.
Addition... Now, I will give you a bonus prize when I spin the wheel. I will give you a bonus prize if you can answer the following question.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see here. What was the name of the horse that played Mr. Ed?
Oh, don't know.
His name was Bamboo Harvester, and he was a chestnut gelding, and he was a crossbred, a saddlebred Arabian, and some kind of grade horse, I guess. So that's a little bit.
You know that
and he,
one.
By the way, he lived from 49 to 70. He lived to be an old age.
Ooh, wow.
Time out.
Yeah.
Time out.
Oh, that pink butter he ate. Yeah.
Mr. Ed was absolutely not a chestnut gelding.
No.
He was a Palomino.
Well,
No, that was Roy
well,
Rogers.
That
was Trigger. That was a Palomino, wasn't it?
Mr. Ed's a Palomino too. What is wrong with you people?
It was black and white.
Yeah, but if you remember what we had said. We had this before on the show that they actually colored him. He was a chestnut gelding, and they actually colored him to play the show because it wasn't black and white.
No, that was totally false, Glenn. That was totally false. Totally false. Totally false. He is. There's no way. There's no. I'll
oh,
give
we
you
started World War
III
here. No.
I will give you $10 if Mr.
Sorry,
Ed. What
fault.
I'm going to Google it. What color
all right.
was Mr.
Susan Nelson? Susan Nelson, please let us know what the true story is behind Mr. Ed here. We want to know. But in the meantime, let me spin the wheel so you can actually win something. All right,
oh, cool.
Here we go. Turn that mic up.
Okay.
I barely hear it. Oh, there went the crappy prize.
I'd like the double.
Oh,
oh,
you are a big winner of the day. You won the Carrots Microcord boot cut extended knee patch breeches. And I'll tell you what, I don't care if you're just a trail rider. Jennifer wears these all the time to go trail riding. They are the ultimate in versatility. This pant can be worn with a paddock boot or easily tucks over a half chap or tall boots. It's figure flattering. And it's made of microcord, supportive, and it provides unrestricted movement and looks great both around the barn and around the town. This is a $99 value, and you get your choice of color and size.
Ooh,
so there you go. That's thanks to Carrot.
Thank you.
That's a good prize. You did good, Ingrid.
Yes,
even
thank you.
Even though you started
that
a war
wonderful.
Here. Jamie and I. Sorry. Jamie's wrong, you know. But
what's
won't.
That?
She'll never admit it. Jamie's wrong,
well,
but she'll never admit
it's
it.
It's going to be
for
the topic of next time.
Google image him. He's a Palomino. But the fact that you say they colored him, they did not color Mr. Ed. You're the one who said, if I recall, that Mr. Ed was a zebra originally. You remember saying
oh, that's
that?
Right. That's right. Remember that? There's a rumor going around that he was a zebra. That's right. And they painted his stripes so he'd look solid. Ingrid,
yeah,
hold on.
Okay.
All right,
thank you,
course, we have a ton of other callers. Let's just pick one of them and do a speed round, okay?
Okay.
So, Ingrid, hold on. You won the Carrots Microcord breeches, and we're going to take the next one that had called in was Celeste. Hello, Celeste.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
You?
So you called. Are you the one that won the crappy prize last week, Celeste, and sent the picture of you smiling?
I wasn't sarcastic. I loved it. And I loved my psychedelic hoof pick.
I picked that out.
Yes. Okay, speed round, because my phone's dying, too.
Okay, so Celeste, what category? Theme songs, Derby Day, or Tack and Habit?
Tack and Habit.
Tack and Habit. Okay, here we go. What type of chaps? This is multiple choice, okay? What type of chaps would you likely see a bull rider wearing? Would it be batwing chaps, stovepipe chaps, or chinks?
Chinks.
Is that correct?
No. No.
I thought it was chinks. It's not? Oh, well then we both get this.
Glenn, are you following along in these questions and these notes? Seriously?
My notes are a little messed up today.
Cowboys do wear chinks and chinks, but actual bull riders wear bat wing chaps. Remember that you can fly up in the air. They look like bat wings. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Next
Call back next week. We'll get Glenn to start paying attention. You psyched her up for no reason.
Bye, Celeste.
Bye.
All right, we've run out of time. I'm sorry for everybody still waiting on the line. Please give us a try again next week. We have too much fun with this segment, and I'm sorry about my notes being a little messed up here. I really thought it was changed.
You're a disaster today. You are just a
disaster. I am. I admit it.
Can't
thank you, everybody. Appreciate you playing a good round. Thanks to everybody or all the companies who donated the prizes today. We really appreciate that.
Yes, absolutely. And thanks, everybody, for calling in. We did not. We appreciate it. Please do call back next week.
All right. Now, I hope everybody had fun with the theme songs. That's a good time. And next week, maybe what I'll do is add a couple modern ones so that we can appeal to the younger generation, too. Well, let's take a break for Back on Track products, and then we're coming back with Victoria Spicer with the European Report from Horse and Country TV. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
All right.
And now
Glenn,
it is time for Jamie.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And it is that time. Welcome, please, Victoria Spicer, calling from England. She's originally from Scotland. Her accent is a big mess. We love her to pieces. Good morning, Victoria.
I love that. My accent is a big mess. Great. I'm also still loving that music. It's far too regal for me, though.
No, Evan, we'll get some sort of Scottish music next time. I'm telling you, when we went to Spain, the people that I took riding lessons for, their father was Spanish and their mother was Scottish. And so they spoke English in some sort of weird Scottish-Spanish diet. It was the coolest accent ever, second to yours.
See, that sounds much better than mine. Mine is not as superior as that.
I don't know. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Well, what's going on?
Well, things are kicking off here. We've got the competition season underway, and we've had some big horse trials already. So people have been out braving the mud as preparation for badminton. And we had one of our first kind of major three-star events of the season up at Belton International, in which an Italian rider dominated. I don't know if you've come across Vittoria Panizon, but she did very well at the Olympics this last summer, and she rides a beautiful grey mare called Burro Pennies, and so she won and then had another two horses in the top 10 in the biggest class, so very well done to her.
Wow, that's fantastic. Fantastic. Now, yeah, we're kind of getting underway with all of our three and four stars here as well. Obviously, Rolex coming up soon. I know there's some British riders that are coming over. Anybody you guys have covered coming over for Rolex?
I think William Fox Pace is coming over, but to be honest, I haven't looked at the start list yet, so I'm afraid you could probably tell me more about the Brits coming over to Rolex. Here it's all about badminton, so we're just counting down the days, and we're kind of looking forward to that. And we've sort of forgotten that Kentucky comes beforehand. It's kind of important with the Rolex Grand Slam and stuff.
Yeah, it is. And William Fox Pitt, I do believe, is bringing 27 horses over. So. Go ahead.
1 year, I fully expect just to be a four-star event with just all William Fox Pitt's horses, just him competing against himself, with maybe Andrew Nicholson interspersed between them. Just a whole event with just them.
Now, isn't it, speaking of William Fox Pitt, and I totally see that too, William Fox, isn't he supposed to, if he wins badminton this year, he wins the Grand Slam?
Yes, it's all quite complicated because badminton got cancelled last year. But I think because he had won two of the three and there was only badminton left to go, it then rolled over. And instead of them saying, well, if you win Burley again, so it would have been Burley, Kentucky, Burley, I guess, then you get the Grand Slam. They said, no, it has to be three different consecutive ones. So there's him going for his Grand Slam, as well as Nicholson, who is aiming to win Kentucky and then win badminton, which will make him also up for the big prize. And it's obviously quite interesting because those two have got a long-standing rivalry, so it'll be good. I really do hope that that Andrew does win Kentucky and that the battle will be on for the Grand Slam.
Absolutely. Now, you say they have a rivalry. Do they, like, hate each other, or is it kind of fun?
I don't know. I mean, if you read William Fox Pitt's autobiography, which is out a few years ago now, I mean, basically he was married to a lady called Wiggy, and she was a vet, and now Wiggy's married to Andrew Nicholson. So I don't know whether that's kind of to do with the rivalry or whether, you know, they've both been around for a long time and they've both been competing and whether it's just as much to do with that. But because William's now perfectly happy with his wife, Alice Plunkett, who's a racing TV presenter over here. So I'm not sure what it is, but those two are definitely big rivals.
You just answered the question is what it is. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Read William Fox Pitt. It'll explain all.
I'm going to have to get that now. Dang. All right, well, so moving on, so stuff you actually wanted to talk about. What is the deal with your soccer fans over there? We call it soccer. You guys call it football. Tell everybody what happened. So crazy.
Well, there was a bit of a clash. It happens whenever, I don't know if it happens in America as well, but when you have two football teams from the same city that play against each other, it's called a derby, and it quite often ends up in upset. And, there was just a bit of a spate of it in the last week or so. In one football match that happened up north near in Newcastle, ended up with... It's always a small number of people. And quite apparently, these people that got into the fight weren't even at the football game. They were just wearing the shirts and causing trouble afterwards. But somebody punched one of the police horses who were there to control the crowds and keep everybody safe. And I just think it's the most horrible story ever. But he's from the West Yorkshire Mounted Police, and they've got a brilliant Twitter feed, which has been really entertaining, and they've been doing things like horses are off practicing boxing lessons in the gym and putting kind of funny pictures up. But they have said that the police horses do get acclimatized to it. They're trained to deal with objects flying at them, with people kind of barging at them. So he is apparently totally fine, but everybody else is really upset about it.
I'll tell you, I posted that this morning on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning if you want to take a look. But what struck me, yeah, I did see the guy. By the way, he got taken down and arrested. But what struck me, one, there was a large crowd there. I mean, it was a large crowd. But what you saw, there were about 10 or 12 mounted police that were coming down the street. And the people pretty much cleared out when the mounted police came down the street. But what amazed me is this was a volatile situation. Those mounted police guys are good. I mean, these
they're
horses
amazing.
Are, oh, it's just amazing because the horses are wired. They're fired up. They're, you know, there's these loud bangs going off and there's crowds screaming and rushing at the police and the horses are just holding their ground. I was amazed. I mean, every time you see that, it just reinforces really what horses were first used for, which was battle, you know, and
exactly.
Why they were used for battle.
And I was at the World Horse Welfare, it's a big equine charity over here, and they have an annual conference. And there was a lady who's one of the senior members of the Mounted Police Force, and she came and spoke to everybody there about how they train them. And it's really fascinating. And they, you know, they do go in and they'll throw things at the horses until they get so used to it. And they've obviously got the right temperament to begin with. You know, they're not flighty or spooky, but the way they train them is quite remarkable, so it's really, really interesting.
By the way,
well,
I think you're more violent. I was just going to say, I think you're more violent than we are. We pretty much drink beer and eat chicken wings. That's pretty much
what.
I
know what's
what
really
it is.
Sad. It's not, that's not true. I mean, this stuff happens in America, too. And the thing is, you mess with a police horse, you are going to have to deal with the wrath of the policeman that is on his back, because those guys are partners. And they spend so much time together, and they will fight for each other. And it's just really cool to watch a police officer with his horse that he has spent so much time training. You punch a police horse in the face, you're going to be in big, big trouble, which obviously this guy was.
Indeed. And it's quite interesting, actually, because lots of our mounted police forces have been suffering cuts and some of them have had to close down. And it just goes to show, because we've also had quite a sort of political situation in London this week because of the death of a former prime minister. And there's been a little bit of kind of people throwing parties very strangely in central London. And there's been clashes between the police and rioters. And you can see the difference between when it's just men on the ground and when there's mounted police, and people just will naturally be a bit more wary and step back because you're suddenly faced with half a ton of solid horse and they are wearing protective armor, and most people respect that, but not this guy at the football match. He decided he wasn't scared at all and thought he'd go up and thump the poor horse.
Now let me just ask a question about the prime minister situation. Margaret Thatcher, prime minister, I heard this on the news over here that one of the most popular songs right now, and radio stations are having a hard time deciding whether to play it, is the song from Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, da-da-da, get out of bed, Ding Dong, the Wicked Witch is Dead. That is, like, the drama over there is whether radio stations should not play it, because that's now, like, one of the most downloaded and listened to songs in England right now.
Absolutely, it's brought this all up, and I was quite young when Thatcher was in power, so you know I was about 10 or 11 when she was ousted out of the leadership. So I don't remember the Thatcher years particularly well, but she's such a divisive character, and I quite find it quite amusing. And if you look at Facebook at the moment, and half my friends are like, you know, the greatest lady that ever lived, and the other half are like raging about the political decisions she made. And I'm just saying that, you know, whatever her politics and a lot of what she did, I disagree with. She is an elderly lady who has died, and I wish people were showing a little bit more respect. So I would not be downloading any songs from The Wizard of Oz anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, and that's the drama, I guess, is people are like trying to figure it out. Wizard of Oz, by the way. Thank you, Jennifer, for typing that to me like dummy. Wizard of Oz. So that obviously it's some drama over there, but I hope everybody behaves themselves. Probably not. But finally, let's wrap this up and tell us a little bit about your dressage finals. You've got a winner's gallery and also a video of the month, of the week.
Yeah, so we've been doing quite a few reports from the British Dressage Winter Championships, which are one of the two big national championships we have in this country. And you should go and check it out, because it was just really nice to see some kind of David and Goliath moments, like the 13-year-old girl and a 14-2 pony who beat off Michael Ahlberg and Maria Ahlberg, who are both like Grand Prix riders. Love that story. It was very cool. We also had like an event rider, Ruth Edge, who you might have heard of over there. I'm sure she's probably competed at some of your big four stars. She won a dressage competition, so nice to see her beat all the professional dressage riders. And there was also a lady who competes in showing and working hunter classes, which is a mixture of jumping rustic fences and then a typical hunter showing class. And she's started picking up dressage after doing it for a bit of a laugh for a magazine feature. And she's gone and won quite a big class as well. So some really good stories in there.
And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about was because of what happened here in Boston the other day, the terrorist attack there, I heard that in London, when you got your marathon coming up here, I believe, this coming weekend, and then you have badminton coming up in a couple of weeks, which brings in a lot more people than we're used to over here in the United States. So I assume security is going to be stepped up greatly because of that?
Yes, I think so. I mean, it's still obviously very up in the air as to who's responsible, but it is going to make people nervous. And I ran the marathon in 2008 in London. It was just such a brilliant day and incredibly inspiring, and it's such a feel-good day, even though, you know, you're struggling for 26.2 miles and you're in agony, you know, the crowd gets you along. And I'm just quite sad that people might decide to stay away this year just in case anything happens. And it's just a real shame. I don't understand why anyone would target a marathon and a day that's so about charity and about, you know, human endeavor. And it's just such a shame that this has happened.
Well, we hope that you guys are all safe over there for your marathon and for badminton coming up, that there's no issues at all.
Thank you very much. I hope so, too.
Well, thank you, Victoria.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Speak to you next week.
Of course, that was Victoria Spicer with horseandcountry.tv. That's horseandcountry.tv.
Phew, I was in a good mood till then. Now I'm all down. Let's play some song. Man,
that was so brutal.
We didn't talk about it, but let's play a song and move on, because every other news channel, everything you listen to is going to be talking about it. So we'll just leave that alone here.
Yeah, well, you know, we're here for a different purpose. Talk about horses. So let's talk about what we can do to help our horses drink. And then we're going to play a song, which I hope I have uploaded. With all the other uploading I did today, do you think I forgot the song?
Are you serious?
I think I did.
Well, you know what that means. That means it's time for Girls and Horses.
I don't even see that one.
It's on there. I see it. I see it. I see it.
Oh, I see it too. Okay, so we'll play Girls and Horses. I was going to play a Jared Rogerson song to get ready for Friday, because we want to remind everybody that Jared's going to be on Friday with his new CD from the new CD release. But I blew that one. My fault.
Thanks,
I'm just doing well here today. This is just one of those days. All right, let's see if I can come up here with the commercial for Horse Quencher. And then we'll play a little Templeton Thompson.
Oh, my God.
Is your horse not drinking enough? Whether it's from weather changes, minor illnesses, trailer and traveling stress, there are many reasons you'll have a horse refuse to drink sufficiently. Yet being fully hydrated is the first line of defense against minor issues becoming major. There is a product that helps even the pickiest of drinkers drink more, all-natural Horse Quencher. Listen to what four-in-hand champion Chester Weber has to say about it.
Since I was introduced to Horse Quencher, I've been wildly impressed with its ability to keep the horses in the water buckets drinking, and it's given me real peace of mind. One often doesn't know they need a product until they're introduced to it, and this was a product I didn't know I needed at all, but due to the traveling that we do, it's been really helpful. It's also been very helpful with horses that, you know, are a little colicky or something like that. We'll always hang in buckets in their stall. You know, they'll drink more, and their general health will just be better.
Take it from Chester Weber. Horse Quencher is the all-natural product you want to help your horses drink as much as they should. Find it at your local feed store or tack shop or online at horsequencher.com. That's horsequencher.com.
Talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls?
I mean, if you're going to miss listening to a Jared Rogerson song, you might as well listen to that song. That's Girls and Horses, Templeton Thompson. Absolutely love that song. Oh, that's got to be most of our theme song. I know we have some guy listeners, but for the most part, that's such a chick theme song, Girls and Horses. I mean, come on. Does it get any better than that? By the way, I do have a list for you, Glenn. I have a list for you. You and every man, and we're going to talk about it. Maybe we'll do it on Friday. We'll see how the time works out. We're going to run out of time today. But it is a list of things every man should realize before he marries a horse chick.
Don't run. Is that on the list?
That's number one. Just kidding. We're totally worth it. In many respects, okay? Yes, we are kind of a pain for some other things, but come on. What guy wouldn't want to marry a horse chick? We're like the
That's
coolest.
True. That is true. I mean, you've got a whole lifetime of seeing girls in tight breeches. What's better than that?
You know what's so funny is my brother called me, and this is my brother who's older than me, never been married. He's like 37 years old, never been married. And he calls me, and he's like, Jamie, I have a question for you. I'm like, he never calls me. So I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, I just met a girl, and she has horses. It's like, run away! Run away! He's like, I need to know, like, first of all, this is my brother, by the way, who, you know, like, he should know. I mean, I've had horses. I grew up with horses in the backyard. They've been part of my entire life. I lived in the same city with him for 15 years after that in the same house. He goes, what type of riding do you do? She's going to ask me, and I need to know what you do. I'm like, how do you not?
He paid attention real well.
Didn't know what my horse's name was. I had one horse for 18 years, from the age of 10 to 28. Did not know his name. Then he asked me, well, what do you do with it? I'm like, oh, my God, seriously? We lived in the same house? Same house for 10 years. From 20 to 30, I lived in the same house with this man. And he did not know anything. But he was asking me questions about, like, girls and horses and what to do when dating a horse girl and what do you talk about. And I'm like, yeah, I really need to. I really need to. This is a great list. I'll send it to him. But that's my brother. That's family for you right there. Well, anyway, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Back on Track Products.
Well, and we do have really bad ads coming up on Friday. Jared Rogerson will be here. By the way, during Girls and Horses, I uploaded Jared's song, and we will play it at the end of the show because his CD was just released. So this is probably the first time this song has been played on any radio station. So we're going to play that to get you a little excited for Friday when he joins Jamie and I for a whole hour. And then we will have really bad ads and the prizes this week. I'm not sure about the first one because I'm not sure between Jamie and Jennifer that this is ever going to get sent out to the winner. It is a brand new one from Leather Therapy, a set of 16-ounce saddle pad and blanket wash and rinse bottles in a gift pack. It's a $40 value. A saddle pad blanket wash is a laundry concentrate that breaks down heavy soils and protein-based grime and contaminants, eliminates odors, and brightens colors on breathable, waterproof fabrics while caring for blankets, saddle pads, and rain sheets. Created from high-tech textiles. And then you use the rinse because it does the same thing a rinse does for your regular clothes, and it also decreases the spread of skin problems from horse to horse. And Jamie and Jennifer both saw this and said, Jamie said, I got 12 blankets that need washed. I need this stuff. And Jennifer said, I need it too. You're not getting it. So I'm not sure the winner is ever going to receive this.
You will get it, but it just reminds me that it is that time of year where you need to go out and buy this stuff. And I would like to point out that my husband is currently he's on the other side of the country, which is why I have collected all of the horse blankets in my entire barn, which is with six horses, we probably have like 15 blankets. All of them
are in
the garage
right
now. You're not going to
wash them in the washer, are you?
Oh, hell yes, I am. Because he's gone.
I'm going to call him. I'm going to call him and tell him.
No, you can't. He'll be so mad.
Nothing makes a horse husband madder than that for some reason.
Especially
the hair
Well, I did it last year, and I realized, too, afterwards that he was really mad because he had just bought the washing machine. We've had the dryer forever. You don't dry them, you know? But I put them all in the washing machine, and he's like, what is that smell? Why does it smell like wet, burning horse poop in here? And I'm like, maybe because it's hot, wet horse poop.
And then you open it up after Jennifer has washed saddle pads or a blanket. You open it up, and it's just hair. It's gross. It's just hair stuck to the entire sides of the machine. It's just
totally
gross.
It's clean hair. I don't want to hear it. Good
gross.
Point, Jennifer. Good point. It is clean hair, and it's clean,
hot,
wet poop.
Well, the next time I see all that clean hair lining there, I'm going to wash your underwear and bras in it. How about that? There, take that.
Do you really want to get involved in this, Glenn? Really?
No, not really. No. Let's go on with what the second prize is for Really Bad Ads on Friday. Is a one-year membership to Monty Roberts Equus University worth over $120. Learn from the master horseman who continues to be at the forefront of effective, gentle horse training techniques. Monty's vision years ago was to take his unmatched knowledge of 70-plus years of working with horses and make it accessible to people on their computers and even on their mobile devices. They have over 235 lessons, video lessons, and he's adding a new one every week. So that is Monty Roberts Equus Online University, worth $120 for a whole year membership, MontyRoberts.com. So the two prizes, Leather Therapy and MontyRoberts.com, coming up for Friday's Really Bad Ads. Get your ads into Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. Do not post them on our Facebook page because we will miss them there. Please send them to Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. And another tip, do not just send the link, because sometimes by the time we get to it, it might be a couple of weeks, the ad is gone. So copy the whole ad, paste it in the email, and send it to Jennifer. That's the trick. What is so funny?
So I posted on Facebook, okay, people, what color was Mr. Ed? I know this is a ridiculous question, but Glenn swears he's a chestnut. I need major backup here. And I just clicked on it. 40 people have commented he's a Palomino.
Do you know what I have solved? We're both right. What the story is that the first one that played Mr. Ed in the pilot episode was a chestnut gelding. However, they replaced the chestnut gelding immediately after that. So there was a chestnut gelding in the pilot episode.
Okay, but you have to realize that you didn't say pilot episode.
I didn't.
You
I
said,
didn't.
What color was Mr. Ed? And then you swore he was a chestnut. And I would like to point out that one person on here actually did put that Mr. Ed was a zebra. It must be true because it was on the internet, and that was Susan Salter. Susan, you win a prize.
That is the most comments we've gotten on a post in a week.
Although I will tell you that my brother, the said brother who was trying to date the horse chick.
The non-horsey actually, brother?
My non-horsey brother wrote, black and white.
I like him. We ought to give him a call. Hey, I got a great idea. Why don't we get him as a guest someday, and I'll have a chat with him.
Oh, boy, we'll see about that. I don't know. He's got to woo the girl first. See, that's the problem. Is he's trying to woo her. I can't have my brother call in and be like, yeah, she said no. All right, loser, way to go.
Well, I think that we should have the horse.com on here very shortly, but Jennifer, you might want to check that. And let's see, what you had some news, though, didn't you?
I did have some news. I'm sorry, I'm still reading this. What is this video you posted with Angelina Jolie?
Oh, she was, I don't know what movie she is supposed to be in, but she was taking side saddle lessons. And that's what this video is, her doing side saddle lessons to do this movie. And she had to shoot with a shotgun while riding side saddle and hit targets. So she is and then I found, I'm going to be posting this on for all your horse husbands out there. There are naked pictures of her with a horse, semi-naked pictures of her with the horse. So I'll be posting those over on Horse Husbands Unite Facebook page.
Dude, seriously?
Yeah.
You know, I would be impressed that she's shooting a gun and riding side saddle if she wasn't a life-sucking, awful person who steals people's husbands. I'm still Team Jen. I'm so Team Jen.
Can't let it go, mad. Can you?
Still mad about that.
Not letting
God,
that one go.
Awful. She's awful. Ugh. I'll never forgive her. I mean, it's Brad Pitt, for God's sake. Could Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston made a more beautiful baby? No. It would have been perfect. No. What does she do? She runs off and starts adopting African babies with Brad Pitt and steals him away from Jennifer Aniston. The wound is still fresh, my friend.
All right. You take a break. It looks like we're ready now. So you just take a deep breath. We're going to just do this.
Sorry.
It's time for the weekly health report from horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
That's right. It's time for the weekly horse health report with thehorse.com. We have Michelle Anderson, who is the digital editor, who is here to save me today.
Good morning, Glenn. No, you dug a hole for yourself on that one.
I have gotten everything wrong today. Everything's been wrong. I'm being flamed on Facebook. I just can't live.
And Mr. Ed's a chestnut?
He was. In the pilot episode, he was a chestnut. So I was right, too.
No, you were not. That is an important piece of information to give people before you just go ahead and spew. He was a chestnut. What are you ridiculous about?
He was a zebra, and he was painted. We all know that.
Oh, well, there's that, yeah.
He was painted. I read it on the internet that he was painted. He was a chestnut, but he was painted. Oh, my God. Sorry. Move on. And then he posts Angelina Jolie on my Horses in the Morning Facebook page. You can't post that girl on there. What are you, crazy?
Yeah. I'm with you, Jamie.
Husband-stealing woman. My God. Okay.
So this morning on the Horse Health Report, do we have Dr. Jones with us?
Yes, we do. Yes. Thank God.
Hi, Dr. Jones. We missed you.
Okay, I miss you guys too, and but I'm still a little upset with Jennifer Aniston stealing Brad Pitt away from me. Come on, I could have been his first wife. College, I knew him in college. Come on, Brad, why didn't you think of me?
Serious? You knew him in college?
You knew him?
Yeah, I met him in college.
Was he a jerk?
Oh my God.
Oh, was he a jerk? You're like, he's so handsome, he must be a jerk.
Jerk,
yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Isn't that how it always goes, huh?
I
don't usually taste jerk.
Hey, why are we blaming her? He was part of this. He there's two people.
No, she is a succubus, okay? That is what you get. She is awful.
So this morning, we're...
And Dr. Jones, by the way, we'll talk later about this whole knowing Brad Pitt thing, okay? I'll call you.
Yeah, see, I've met so many people who claim they know Brad Pitt. Like, this isn't the first time I've had this conversation with people.
Interesting.
Like, I know a girl, he lived right down the street from me, and so, Brad Pitt, he's everywhere.
Yes, that's true.
So, but no, I believe Dr. Jones. And today Dr. Jones is here to talk to us about false pregnancies. We had a listener question asking about pseudo-pregnancy in horses. So a mare that you think is pregnant and she ends up not being pregnant. That's a surprise 11 months later. But before we get started, Dr. Jones wanted to dedicate this segment today. We are talking about reproduction to Dr. Michelle LeBlanc, who was a reproductive specialist at Rood and Riddle, who passed away this weekend. Dr. Jones, you want to tell us a little bit about Dr. LeBlanc?
Yeah, as everybody has stated in the wonderful articles that have been stated, she was always about the other person and always about the horse. I mean, those are two big things in her life for other people and horses. She's a very, very caring woman, and she is such a tremendous loss for us as a person, primarily, and as a researcher, secondarily. She never left any stone unturned in her life, and even up to right before she passed away, she ended up doing her taxes for 2012 and made sure they were done before she went into hospice care, knowing what hospice care is all about because of her husband passing away from cancer. So she's just a fantastic researcher, like I said, never left any stone unturned, always wanted to look at every aspect of what she was researching, and then as a friend, was always about how are you doing and how is your life, hardly ever about what she was going through and her hardships, especially the last 2 years. So fantastic, fantastic person.
And yeah. Rood and Riddle in Lexington, Kentucky, where she practiced last, has named its reproductive clinic after her, and they did that before she passed, so she got to be there when they did that.
Oh, that's really cool. That's really great that they did that. Yeah, you know, one of the guys I worked for out here is board certified, and it just spoke so highly of her. What is it called? A theriologist?
Theriogenologist.
Theriogenologist. Yeah, that's what he does. Sorry, I couldn't pronounce it. And
which
she
is
was
long
absolutely
for reproduction.
I know, exactly. But she was absolutely a pioneer. So I'm glad you dedicated this segment to her. And I know it was big news pretty much all over the country for veterinarians.
Yeah, very sad news, but happy that she's now finally at peace. So it was a long, hard road for her.
So let's jump into one of her favorite things, which was pregnant mares. But in this case, we're talking about non-pregnant mares. So Dr. Jones, can you tell us a little bit about what a false or pseudo-pregnancy is?
There's not a good definition in the fact that mares will often decide today they're going to be pregnant and be pseudo-pregnant. So I want to just put that out there, that it's not something that you think your mare got caught by a stallion, thought they're pregnant, and they're definitely not pregnant. They usually start off pregnant is where the pseudo-pregnancy term comes in, and they will slip, as we call it, or lose their embryo or foal midway through the gestation or sometime through the gestation and not come back into heat. And it depends on, of course, when they became pregnant. Was it more towards the fall season and they start going out of their normal heat cycles at that time, or they further in and it takes quite a bit of hormonal adjustment to get back into regular heat cycling and it looks like they're still pregnant, you know. Was it almost towards the end of gestation and they're in a huge pasture, they lost their foal, probably carried off by coyotes or buzzards, nobody knew, you know, that kind of thing. So they were pregnant to start with, and they have slipped or lost their foal in process.
So this is different than the mare that you had covered, didn't preg check her, assumed she was pregnant, fed her a lot all winter.
Yeah.
And
well, those
are convinced that she's going to have a baby.
Those usually come back into heat. If they haven't come back into heat, there are reasons for them not to come back. One would be is they did get pregnant, but then they slipped. Or it was towards the end of the season, or there's some other hormonal issue going on with those mares. But, yes, it's best to follow up and make sure they're pregnant before you start feeding them a lot, taking care of them as if a pregnant mare needs to be taken care of, which is a little bit more money in vaccinations and feed than your regular own mare. So, yeah, checking for pregnancy would be a good idea to start with.
Okay, so what are the clinical signs that a mare might display if she has a false pregnancy?
Well, like we said, they will come back into heat, and there's many reasons for that. There's a part of their gestational system that's called an formation of the endometrial cups. It's about 3 to 4 months in that they form these cups that takes over producing the progesterone that keeps them pregnant. If they lose their foal after that, it takes a while for those endometrial cups to reside. To be removed from the system to stop the progesterone being produced and make the mare go back to her normal cycling. So that's usually the case, is it's past that time frame of the 3 to 4 months and the endometrial cups are there and they don't come back into heat. So if you preg check the mare up till she's 60 days and you think she's good to go and she's pregnant and you carry through with your 5, 7, and 9 shots, but you're getting close to the end and she's not bagging up and becoming quite large and you check her and she's empty, she probably lost it back around that 3-4 month period where the endometrial cups take some time to be removed and her cycles come back into state.
Okay. And so mares towards the end of gestation are rather large. And, you know, often you can see hooves poking out of her belly, or sometimes it looks like the foal is galloping inside there.
How I feel her pain. Mine gallops all the time. Oh my God.
So that, I mean, that's pretty obvious when you see, you know, a hoof sticking out, you know, your mare, the side of her, you know, the you can tell there's a hoof inside there poking her. What does a pseudo-pregnant mare look like? Does she look like she is actually in foal? Does she have that much weight that she's added? Or is it one of those things where a horse owner might just question themselves and say, well, maybe she seems to be pregnant, but she doesn't look pregnant?
Yeah, the calls I get are they recently purchased, and they're not sure because she's extremely, extremely heavy. And it looks like it's really bottom-heavy, meaning a big hay belly and then some. And those are the ones we'll check to see if they are pregnant or not. You may not see movement. And some of the clients aren't savvy enough in the fact that they've never had a pregnant mare before and they don't know what to look for movement. And they may not see the movement. I just did a very large warm blood the other day that they purchased. They got actually from a rescue facility. And their trainer was the one that said, you know, you might want to get her preg checked. Just because they'd been working her and she kept holding this hay belly And she was a young enough mare that she shouldn't continue to hold hay bales. She should get a little more fit. And she was pregnant, but she's extremely large, and it's very hard to see any movement on an extremely large mare. Okay. So they weren't seeing any full movement either. And she just pulled the other day and perfectly happy, healthy foal, and everything's going well for her.
Well, now, I've been around mares who will let down milk even though they aren't pregnant and they don't have a foal and they aren't necessarily around foals. Is that part of this whole process?
No, that's something completely different. Yeah, that's something completely different. Mares who are rebred every year can stream milk from year to year. They won't be a heavy bag like they would be when they are foaling and in their first few months. And as we all know, the foals get the best benefit from the mare in the first 4 to 6 months. After that, the milk really wanes in its abilities to provide good nourishment to the foal, and that's about the time we wean them anyway. So the bag gets a little smaller and smaller over time, that it doesn't produce a whole lot of milk. So what you're seeing coming out is probably more of a milky white secretion rather than a solid white milk secretion. And it's still white, and it still concerns people because they think that their mare is producing milk, and it's either a remnant or a factor of secretions that come from the teat gland, the mammary gland, where it will be a milky white or a cloudy look to the stream that you can milk out of there. I've had mares that have never been pregnant have a little bit of a cloudy discharge. As long as it's not hot and swollen and there's pus coming out from mastitis, which is not that common in horses, it's okay. We see it off and on in mares that are pregnant, have been pregnant, never been pregnant. So it's completely different from a pseudo-pregnancy.
Okay. And so we've mentioned preg checking, and that would be pregnancy checking a mare. Can you explain a little bit how that is done? Is it, you know, humans, we have, pee tests and blood tests. How do we do it in horses?
In the horses, I think we might have discussed this before, or maybe a thorough person's been on. You do the rectal exam, and it's usually done with an ultrasound. They can do it as early as day 10, 11. Most of them are done around day 14. 15 to see the first embryo and make sure there's not twins, because mares don't really carry twins to full term, less than 1% do. And then there are periodic checks thereafter, usually about 25 days to 35 days, another one around 45 days, another one at 65 days. This is the usual standard practice of ultrasounding a mare for pregnancy. After that, if there is concern or this mare has had placentitis, which would be an infection of the placenta, or had problems with her mares in the past, or it's a very high-dollar baby coming out, they can do transabdominal ultrasounds to check the heart rate of the baby and make sure that the fluid of the mare looks good, that of the uterus looks good. And you can also do a fluid check of the placenta via rectum as well, and a cervical star thickening test to see what the thickness is at the cervical star, which is where the cervix joins the placenta, and see what if there's an infection going on there that way too. So transabdominal late in gestation or late in pregnancy, rectal exams via ultrasound early in pregnancy, and then late for infectious issues.
Okay, so it seems like pseudo-pregnancies usually go one of two ways. A horse owner starts suspecting that the horse isn't pregnant for whatever reason, although she's showing signs of being pregnant, or the owner goes the other way and is convinced she's pregnant, even though she isn't. So if you're going down the route of suspecting that your mare isn't actually pregnant, what should you do? How do you follow up with this with your vet?
Well, the veterinarian can do simply a rectal exam. They don't have to have the ultrasound out there the first time. So if they're sharing an ultrasound within a group practice, they can put their arm in and see if they feel a enlarged uterus with a foal in it, especially if the 3 months are past. You can usually feel the fetus in there unless they're a very large mare. I have a very short arm, so sometimes I have to come back a little later. But or they can do an ultrasound exam and see if they can pick up on a foal at that time. They can do a transabdominal one as well and see if they can pick up a foal in a heartbeat. So that would be the number one thing to test for. Progesterone levels you can always do in the blood. That doesn't confirm pregnancy, but it does help you determine if the pregnancy is going along at a good pace, because some horses don't produce enough progesterone to keep the pregnancy going. So you can do a blood test for progesterone, but I would not rely on that for a pregnancy test.
Okay, and so we go the other direction, and we're waiting for the mare to foal, and she hasn't foaled, and she hasn't foaled. And there are other reasons a may or may not foal near her due date, but when do we start getting where it's risky and we should definitely have her checked out if we think there's a foal in there?
Well, most of my clients will have me check them like a week or two after the due date because they start to get panicky. Mm-hmm. But in the larger farms, they're checking these mares on a daily basis, looking for discharge, looking for abnormalities in their eating behavior, maybe taking temperatures on them. So that's going to give them a little bit more of a heads up that there's something wrong going on with the foal and the mare. And those are put into a high-risk area or a full watch area, or they're being tested with an ultrasound on a weekly basis to make sure that everything's going just right. But discharge is our first number one thing we'll see from a mare, that there is a problem going on. You'll see some material coming out the vulva that is abnormal, such as a pus or a stringy yellow thick discharge from their vulva. And a lot of times it's hard to determine it because the tail does sweep it away. So it'd have to be a regular check a couple times a day that you do on these mares to make sure that everything is going just right. You can also have your veterinarian ultrasound them at that point. They can go up to a year to take to foal out. Some mares have done that, and everything's perfectly fine. As we said, some of those mares just needed to cook the baby a little bit longer. But those are a couple things you can start doing for your mare when it gets close to the end. Transabdominals are done right close to the due date to make sure everything's going the right way if you're at all nervous or concerned.
Okay. So if you're getting if you're having these checks done, you're probably going to find out pretty early on that she's not actually carrying a foal.
Absolutely. So it boils down to rectal ultrasounds or some sort of ultrasound or transabdominal on your mare would help you know that you've got a premare or you don't.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on and answering this listener question. We appreciate it. And hopefully those mares out there that are supposed to be pregnant are, and people are starting to get those foals on the ground. Are you busy with foaling season?
Yeah, we're actually at the tail end. We only have one more due for our performance horses. We didn't do too many late ones last year, which is good because it's very hot here. And so we're not rebreeding too many this year. I think with the decrease in horse showing and such, it's not been a very advantageous thing to do is rebreed your mare. So a lot of my clients are not full-time breeding farms, and they are deciding that one or two babies is enough for their farm.
Well, we had snow here yesterday where I'm at, so the babies are lucky to hang on a little bit longer.
Yeah, that would be good if they did. How about those little foals?
Next
hey, Dr.
month,
Jones,
we'll
if you're hot
month.
Today, if you're hot today, you can come up to we have a pool, so you can come up if you're hot today, Dr. Jones. Just
it's going to be a hot one down here, that's for sure. At least I'm staying in an alley with a nice breeze, so they're doing okay today. Thank goodness.
All right.
Glenn,
said that for Michelle's
sake. I can't even believe you're still on here. You must not have been listening.
I was. I was
the
trying
yellow
not,
stringy
I was,
stuff.
Yeah,
coming
was,
out of the vulva, pus, something.
Kind of trying to tone out that out a little bit.
Good job, you guys. Good job, you guys. Nice job.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Of course, it's thehorse.com where you can find Michelle and her gang over there, everything you need to know about horse health. And it's Florida Equine, right? Is it floridaequine.com?
Yes, sir, it is.
For Dr. Jones and her gang, only about a little bit above Orlando. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Well, thank you both. Talk
thank
to you.
You.
Thank you. Talk to you next
Bye-bye.
Week.
Yeah, I caught all the stringy yellow stuff, and I tried to ignore it. I was focusing on something else.
That kind of got me a little bit, no, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and you're pregnant.
So
I didn't think about this topic. I was going, oh, poor Jamie's pregnant and having to listen to this. Like,
I thought, you know, it's going to be false pregnancy, so, you know, I'm not going to have anything to worry about. Yeah, not so much.
Hey, I'm going to give a plug to somebody who posted on our Facebook page that wasn't mean to me today. And her name was Carolyn, and I had never heard of this place before. So this is a free plug for a place called, and I'm only doing it because of you, it's a place called Little Journeys World. And it's all kinds of really cute little kids stuff that's Western or horsey in nature. But it's for little babies.
Oh, where is that at? Oh, my it's gosh.
Called littlejourneysworld.com, and it's really cute. It's a company called Western Border, and it's just got little cowboy hats and for little boys and little girls, and it's got boots and it's got shirts and all kinds of cute little stuff. So,
it is stinking cute. Cool.
Check it out. There's a free plug. She didn't ask for that, but I'm giving it to her anyway because Jamie's going to be looking for all this stuff in about 2 months. So,
dude, we're 6 weeks to 2 months now. Could be closer to 6 weeks.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I better start planning a substitute for you while you're out, huh?
Moment better of silence it. For me. Yeah.
I better start planning your substitutes.
I would like to thank the 54 people that commented that Mr. Ed was a Palomino. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it. Even Judy Shepherd, everybody's posting pictures of him as a Palomino.
I got to find a picture of the pilot horse. There's probably not one out there. You probably won't be able to find one picture of the pilot horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we are going to call it a day because I've had enough. And we're going to come back on Friday with our special episode with Jared Rogerson and, of course, Really Bad Ads. Jared's new CD hit yesterday. What do you say? Dropped yesterday.
Yes, it dropped.
His CD is called Dirt. You can find it on iTunes. So you can find it on iTunes. So hop over there. And you can find it on his website at jaredrogerson.com. And you can hear some of his music here on Friday morning as we chat with him all about it. But we wanted to give you an opportunity to hear one of his songs off the brand new CD today. And we're going to play the show out. It's a song called Broke. And I like this song. You haven't heard it yet, but I like this song. It's really cool. But in the meantime, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you all back here on Friday. There will be a show tomorrow morning, so check in then.
Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Not people.
I may be broke, but I'm not broken. No, I just can't catch a break. It may sound funny, I ain't got no money, but I'm thinking I got it made.
I guess I was about due for a break. At least it's not a compound.